Hi, this is Liz Dunchy, Managing Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. Many companies are now holding their board meetings virtually due to the pandemic. Today I'm talking with Ellen Smith, the Chair of Fenwick & West Corporate Group, about what steps boards and advisors can take to ensure that these virtual meetings are properly structured and worthwhile. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. This is definitely a timely topic. So we've all been dealing with Zoom meetings for a good 9 months now, and I don't think anybody's particularly pleased about that, but it seems like maybe they'll keep going for a while. So what special issues exist for boards of directors who are meeting in a virtual format?
Yeah, so this is basic, but you know, you should check your applicable laws and your articles and bylaws to be sure that your company's is permitting a meeting structure that is done by video conference. Delaware and most states generally do permit remote meetings as long as the technology allows participants to hear one another. But, you know, if your company's articles or bylaws haven't been updated in some time, maybe have some older features, you might find some unusual limitations in there that would implicate virtual meetings. So it's worth taking a look to be sure. And then I think, you know, most of the issues run to the technology itself. The host usually is the CEO or the chair of the board, but sometimes a non-officer facilitator, such as an executive assistant, you know, whoever it is, really needs to develop a facility with the chosen video conferencing platform, understand the security and the means of admitting participants from waiting rooms, sharing screens, muting and unmuting participants if there is a disruption, admitting people into the meeting from waiting rooms, using breakout rooms if you want to do that. It can be a good way to do, for example, executive sessions and the like. But I'd say running some practice sessions to make sure you're good with the technology on your chosen platform is a good idea. All of these platforms have become much more sophisticated in the last year, and they can be artfully used to facilitate a better board meeting in some ways. But it's a frustrating process for everybody when the user is struggling with the features and that's creating delays or preventing sharing of content as desired.
Right. You don't want it to stand in the way.
Exactly. You don't want the technology to get in the way. Hopefully it's facilitating your meeting and not breaking it up. And then, you know, obviously the same protocols I think we're all learning about video conferencing apply to board meetings as well. You want to encourage directors to have their cameras on to ensure engagement, so you're not just talking to anonymous black squares. and, you know, I think we've all found that video conferencing is somehow more fatiguing than meeting in person, particularly when it goes on for a long period of time. So it's a good idea to build in breaks. Maybe even schedule your meeting over a series of days instead of all at once and have, you know, a strategic discussion each day in order to break it up and give people a chance to rest and recharge from the tiresome being on video that I think we're all experiencing.
Right. That's good advice. What should board advisors be doing to ensure that the board meetings are secure from a technology's perspective and that all of the document retention policies are being followed for notes or recordings? I mean, you'd mentioned these different features that are available in the platforms right now, and I've heard of people using polls and things like that, but it seems like you would also want to be cognizant of any record that that's creating.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. You know, first, the host needs to understand all those security features in the platform you're using. You know, I think early in the pandemic, we all read stories about security breaches where people were coming into meetings and disrupting them with various sorts of hacks. So it's a good idea to use meeting passwords for sure. It's a good idea to use the waiting room features. Zoom and others have the ability to have participants stay in a waiting room until they're affirmatively admitted. Many of the platforms have the ability to lock the meeting once everybody you expect to be there is there so that no one else can join. And, you know, it's a good idea to be facile with all of those tools and to use them to make sure that the people you want to attend are attending and not the ones you don't. But there's also a potential hidden trap in that many of these platforms permit recording of the whole meeting.
Right.
Or if not the whole meeting, they permit saving the chat dialogue or polls that you might run in the meeting and those sorts of things. So, you know, in Zoom, for example, the recording settings are available in the settings tab of your Zoom account. And you can set those as a default before your meeting. So make sure they're off. You know, for the same reason, we encourage directors not to keep personal notes on board materials and not to, you know, most companies prohibit actually recording the board meeting. You want to make sure that you're not inadvertently recording them to Zoom. The platforms will keep any recorded content in the cloud for 60 to 90 days for you to download it, and then it'll go away. But you want to be careful that you're not effectively undoing your good practices by having someone record the whole meeting on video conference accidentally.
Right.
And then I'd say it's a good idea to remind your directors that chat messages can often be viewed by the meeting host after the meeting. So people might be tempted to, you know, write a snarky comment to one another or something that they didn't mean to share with the group. Just be aware that those things do get kept and saved for the meeting host.
Yikes. That is terrifying. Not quite as terrifying as the thought of having your meeting recorded and in the cloud, but embarrassing, I guess, would be a better word.
Yeah, for sure.
So you had mentioned some of the issues surrounding video meetings are, you know, being fatigued and things like that. Are there any practices that you have seen that are effective in encouraging the type of dialogue and interaction that boards would have at an in-person meeting? Or are there beneficial practices that you think will continue even after the pandemic?
Yeah, I think there are. You know, I actually think virtual board meetings, when they're done well, can facilitate a more engaged board meeting and board discussion. With cameras on and everyone in grid view, you know, each member can see all the other members' faces at one time and can process their facial expressions and reactions to things and can see their engagement, as opposed to, you know, when you're sitting around a table and in person, you're focused on the speaker usually or whoever's talking, and maybe you have peripheral vision to others. But I find that in video conferencing, there's a way in which the group participation is more engaged because of the visibility of everyone at the same time. You know, I think, God, think of all the travel time that it's saving too, right?
True.
Directors are coming in from all over the place, and that's a lot of found time that, sure, you can invest in other things, but you can also use it to do a deeper dive on pre-read. And, you know, I would encourage companies to be thoughtful about getting materials out in advance and having directors do all the reading in advance so that you can spend more of your time in the meeting, or ideally a shorter meeting, talking about strategic issues and not just reporting on basic facts that could have been read in advance.
Yeah, and that's a really good point about the travel time. And that's not just the directors who that affects, but the people who have to plan the travel for the directors. So saving a lot of people time.
Yeah, it's not good for the airlines, but it's good for our company budgets, I guess.
Right.
And so my guess is that because of these benefits, I bet a lot of companies will continue to use virtual board meetings as part of their schedule even after the pandemic. You know, there's definitely still value and importance for in-person engagement. I think we all miss that, whether it's in work or board meetings or in our social lives. So it's not like it's always going to be virtual. But, you know, I think we've learned that not every meeting has to be in person and that there's some positive trade-offs for virtual board meetings in the travel time savings and in the way that the process facilitates engagement.
Yeah. And I was talking with someone the other day about some special touches that are even getting added to some of these meetings. Like at their company, they have somebody whose title is actually board experience manager. And that person was, you know, sending bottles of wine to the directors so that there could be a virtual happy hour and things like that, where they could still kind of connect socially even without being in person. And so they were being very planful about that. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And some other people I've talked to have mentioned that they might stick with the practice that you had mentioned earlier of maybe spreading things out over a longer time period to allow people to focus a little bit more on each day's subject and agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So what special steps would you recommend for companies who are just bringing on one or more directors right now while we're in this environment, either because they're newly public or just because of regular refreshment practices. I imagine that it's uniquely difficult in this environment to get those people acclimated to the board's culture and everything.
Yeah, you know, I think the same best practices for onboarding a new director continue to apply. I find in the board self-assessments that I do that this is an area where boards very frequently feel like they could do a better job of systematizing how to train a new director and bring them up to speed. But, you know, here's a good opportunity to do some learning about that because, again, a video conference can facilitate that learning in those training sessions because no one has to travel. You know, you can do in advance of the first board meeting, meetings with, you know, the company CFO, the company CEO, maybe the chair, and review for each director, you know, key issues, key discussions that the board has had in the recent past so that by the time they come to the board meeting, they're more up to speed. And, you know, you alluded to this a little bit, the social aspects of board meetings, you know, that traditional pre-board meeting dinner is often an important place where the board members get to know one another, but also get to know management and hear what's on each of their minds, not in a format where, you know, there's a structured presentation at them, but just an opportunity to talk and go a little deeper on issues. So perhaps you know, companies should consider replacing those dinners with a series of one-on-one video conferences with key management, you know, in the time between board meetings so that people do have a chance to have those casual interactions and the conversations that would have taken place at the dinner.
I like that. Good idea. The last question I have today is whether there are any traps for the unwary that board advisors should be watching and preparing for in this environment.
Traps for the unwary. Well, be aware when your camera's on and when it's off. And know when you're muted and when you're not. You know, make sure your pets are not going to interrupt you, those sorts of things. We probably all learned most of those lessons by now. You know, I think as advisors, we attend a lot of these meetings, and many of us are using video conferencing services pretty regularly through our work days. So in a lot of ways, you know, outside of even just legal issues, we're in a good position to help a CEO, chair, or a board facilitator to look out for all of the things that we talked about, you know, previously about recording, about security, about the presentation style. And, you know, I also think when you're a presenter in a video conference, depending on your own monitor setup or style, oftentimes the only thing you can see is your own slides that you're presenting. You don't have the same ability to read the room. Mm-hmm. So an advisor might be in a good position to help keep an eye on who is coming and going, make sure that attendance is secure, but also to speak up if someone's having technical difficulties or trying to ask a question and maybe the CEO doesn't see it. So, you know, depending on your relationship with the company, I think you can play an assistant role in that kind of way. And then, you know, I think maybe this is a trap for the unwary too, or something to think about, because most of us are working from home. And directors will be conferencing in from their homes. You know, you should probably consider if you're going to have a discussion where privilege is important or something that's particularly confidential, just making sure that all of your directors are joining the meeting from a place where they're not in a room with others, right? In a way that might cause a leak or destroy privilege.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess that's always been a little bit of an issue with people dialing in from airports and things like that, but it's probably enhanced when there's a whole video conference going on.
Yeah, and particularly when by video, you know, the sound is often being broadcast. Yep. As opposed to just in somebody's headset.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. That is very insightful and, again, very timely, as I mentioned at the outset. So hopefully we'll have the option to go back to in-person meetings at some point soon. But as you mentioned, there are probably a few things that people might continue to do and maybe even continue to do some virtual meetings after the pandemic's over.
Always got to look at the glasses half full opportunities here. These are tough times for people. So.
Right.
I hope some of these tips can help people run a better meeting.
Right. Thanks, Alan. And thanks to everyone who joined us today. And thank you to Alan for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you.